Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh. Woo! What a way to start a show. I missed last Thursday, and now I'm totally out of sync on next Tuesday. But with that being said, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Kalen?
Like buy a crawl through ice cream sugar.
Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am the little absent-minded Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kalen Patterson.
Not, not
and together we are P4P Real Talk. How are you doing,
yes,
Kalen?
I'm doing very present-minded. I'm enjoying it too much. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good. Well, we like to have a good time. So, like I said, last Thursday, I totally intended to be on the podcast with Kalen and our guest.
Right. Okay.
But I was in Cali.
I left at the door. That's what happened.
And I underestimated. Well, first of all, I wound up going on a little car trip that I wasn't anticipating, and then got caught up in rush hour traffic. So rush hour traffic, California, I'll let you put those two and two together. So needless to say, I did not make this show, but I understand it was a great show. And just real quickly, Kalen, why don't you catch me and any of our new listeners up who didn't make it last Thursday on who we had and what you two covered?
Okay, we had Doug Randolph on the show. And he wanted to talk about his upcoming show, but more specifically, and this is just goes to show the passion in this man, he wanted to talk about actually going to a show, competing, and enjoying the show enough to where you're more prepared and better prepared to where when you compete, you actually enjoy it. So instead of basically having something on your bucket list and having your whole like world ripped from you by placing really low or very poorly and not getting the kind of thoughts and feedback you expect from a judge, you know, they basically have to tell you the truth. He wanted to have everybody more indoctrinated into how to actually show up and compete and be competitive. And I think that's what a lot of people miss when they scratch off that bucket list. Yeah, you lose 100 pounds, but then you're stepping on the stage and you realize, wow, I could have done a lot better if I had been better prepared. And that's something that he spoke about in detail. And we had a lot of engaging questions, especially with the certain classes and categories, because most people just understand bikini, bodybuilding, and basically everything else is a question mark. So, you know, to hear about criteria, posing, tans, all those things. So it was a very enjoyable show.
Great. Awesome. Well, I am definitely going to have to check that out in the archive, and I invite everyone in listener land, if you weren't able to join Kalen on Thursday, to check out the P4P Real Talk archives as well and download it and take a listen. And who knows, you could learn something new, or you may hear something that you want to respond to, and you can give Kalen and I a shout and let us know your thoughts, because we're always interested in your feedback. And then real quick, before we transition to tonight's show, Kalen, I got a package in the mail today. I know you have one coming shortly if you haven't already received yours, but earlier last week we had another great show. We had Jason Hansen on. He and his wife, Jason and Heather, they are the parents of Kennedy Hansen, and he shared just her amazing story, and her story is actually going to be a movie coming out this June, but it's also a book. The Hansons have written a book about their daughter, Kennedy, and it's called Kennedy's Hugs, and Jason was gracious enough to send Kalen and I a copy, and mine has arrived, and it's a beautiful-looking book, and I'm very excited to...
He loves me more.
I'm sorry. Oh, he loves you more?
I said
that's
only because
Kalen.
You live
closer
because he loves me more, yeah.
He can love you more. It's not a competition. But
I'm
looking forward to reading it. Am I what? Am I sore? Not at all.
That's it.
Now, in fact, everyone love Kalen more because he needs
it. Oh, here we go.
It's okay.
Here we go.
It's okay. It's not a competition. But for anyone who's interested, we've been posting about this. And you can find more about the book at kennedyshugs.com. And anyone who purchases a book, those funds go towards the foundation that's been set up in Kennedy's honor. And the proceeds, part of the proceeds that go to that foundation are distributed to families with children who have terminal illnesses to help support those families in their hour of need and, you know, provide whatever it is they need while they are dealing with, you know, just a very, I don't even know, heartbreaking reality of a child who has a terminal illness and just making the most of those last moments. So Kennedy's Hugs, it's a book, kennedyshugs.com, check it out. And then the movie Love, Kennedy is coming out this June 2017. I know the official trailer is floating around either on my Facebook page or Kalen's Facebook page, but we'll get that on Midwest Muscle so you guys can check that out. So, bringing us full circle to tonight's show, we have a great guest. We've had him on before, Dr. Kevin Miller with EP True Chiropractic, and he's talked to us about the importance of spinal care for athletes. We've talked with him about nutrition before, and tonight we are talking about yet another, what I think is going to be a really great topic, and it's about the gut. And I didn't know. I'm learning.
Hold on.
About
hold
the gut.
On. I gotta jump in.
Okay.
This is
jump
something
in.
I shouldn't share, but I will, just because it's such a crazy story. Sunday,
okay.
You know, worship time, and we're having full blown service. You know, Sunday school's done, and we had one of those issues that you never expect to happen on a Sunday morning worship. But hey, guess what? Since we're talking about guts, let's do it. We had basically the sump pump go out, and there were members of the church that don't know what a sump pump is, and so we had gut leavings floating all around the basement, and I had to clean it once.
No.
I had to clean it twice, and I had to go back for a third. And before I had to basically get in detail with explaining about what a sump pump does and how it takes the leavings and basically just spreads them all over with all kinds of love. And there's just no right way to deal with it. And I just thought that was so funny because if anybody gets to know gut leavings the way I did, you would wonder how you could truly enjoy a Sunday service. But hey, it happened, and let me tell you, some people really need to get their guts checked. Let's say, like,
woo, gut leavings. I have never quite heard it phrased like that before, but I'll roll with it. I like it. So with that, we are talking about the gut, and a lot of things about the gut that you probably weren't aware of. I know that I wasn't aware of. But a little fun fact is that, Dr. Kevin, before you introduce yourself, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but is it 70% of our immune system resides in the gut? Do I have that stat right?
Yes.
Or what is the stat?
Up to 85%. Some studies say 85% of your immune system in the gut-associated lymph tissue is in your GI lining. So, yeah, a huge part of sickness or, you know, of the immune system is in those guts. And Kalen,
all
we'll
right.
Just get it out of the way, and we're just going to call it poop. I like intestine gut leaving, so that's a good one.
Well, before we get too far down this road, Dr. Miller, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our folks in listener land.
Oh, man, I don't know what to say after that. hello, everybody. Kevin Miller, and I'm a maximizing chiropractor in West Des Moines, Iowa. I've been practicing for, boy, what is it, 15, 16 years now? I kind of lose track of the years as I get older. But, yeah, I just believe that the body is a self-healing, self-regulating organism, that if you put the right things in and allow the nervous system to work correctly, that the body's an amazing healing machine, and everything can be taken care of if there's no interference in there. So I just body's amazing when you study the physiology and even the biochemistry of how the body works and the anatomy. I just keep learning more and more all the time. And the gut, we just did a big presentation, workshop on the gut, and did a lot of studying for it. And yeah, it's just amazing what happens inside the gut and how powerful it can be if it's healthy.
Okay. So to steal a quote that Dr. Miller has used, it says, "All disease begins in the gut," and Hippocrates is who stated that. And so some of the things some of the issues that
the
can
name
be caused. Yeah, I gotcha. And I'm still moving. Some of the issues that a lot of the common issues that can occur, believe it or not, and I'm going to rattle off a few, actually begin in the gut. So some of them are obvious, so bloating, constipation, upset stomach, food intolerance. But some of the ones that you might not know that are also impacted by the gut are autoimmune disease, mood swings, brain fog, thyroid issue, weight loss resistance can be another one. So with that, I guess, Dr. Kevin, just give us a little setup of, I guess, how all of these things are impacted by the gut. And then I know we've already got some listener questions that are rolling in that we will get asked to you, but kind of give us a little precursor to what all of this is about.
Okay. The gut, first of all, I want to talk about what's inside the gut and the microbiology of what's going on inside the gut. So our body's made up of trillions of cells, and we need to have 4 to 10 times that amount of bacteria in our body or in our gut. And there's so many different species. There's 500 to 1,000 species in your intestines alone. So bacteria are good for you. It's kind of, we farm out our digestion to those bacteria, those little tiny microbes. And so many people, we were taught that microbes are bad, and so would we get antibacterial everything and antibiotics and all this stuff. But we need bacteria in our system, in our gut. We have it on our skin, in our mouth and respiratory system, in our urogenital tract. It is all over. And having that gut bacteria is pivotal in your health. And so the bacteria, they do the work for us. When you eat food, they're going to break it down break it down to a small enough particle so it can get across those intestines. And so the body can absorb it in the blood and get it to nutrients to the cells and where it needs to go. The gut also has another nervous system. It's called the enteric nervous system. So, you always hear follow your gut, or if you have a gut feeling, go with it, because it's true, because it's we have nerves in our gut, and a second nervous system. It's your second brain. So that is a very important part of your digestive system also. It has its own separate nervous system that communicates with the main one up in your brain and through your spinal cord. So a lot of people don't realize that, but that's where this term came from, follow your gut. And what happens is a lot of times those microbes, those little bacteria, they get off. And I like to relate it to a grass, so your lawn. If you have, creeping Charlie or, some big weeds in there, Desiree or Kaylin, what would you use to kill those weeds?
A weed killer.
Weed killer?
Weed killer, yeah. Take some Roundup and go spray them down.
Roundup?
But Yeah, if you hit the, but if you hit, let's say you did that to the whole grass, it's gonna kill everything, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, and what if you don't plant any new seeds in there? The weeds are gonna grow back and cause a lot of. It's not gonna look very good, but it's gonna cause a lot of damage. And what you saw on.
Oh yeah.
On the other day when you're cleaning up.
Oh.
There's probably a lot of weeds in there. and that's what happens to our gut is it gets beat down and a whole bunch of weeds grow and bad bacteria or yeast is another one that happens or viruses that can grow in the gut if the good bacteria is diminished. And one way to do that is by our diet. Our standard American diet can diminish it. Antibiotics, if chronic use of antibiotics, that's like Roundup, that kills the grass, it kills all the good bacteria, and then what comes after that is the yeast and the bad bacteria and viruses that stay in your gut, and it's harder to get rid of them. So that's kind of, I guess, be a good intro to start with what happened, what's going on in your gut.
Yeah, definitely, because you're right. We tend to think of bacteria as a bad thing, and really our body needs it for all of those digestive purposes, because if your body can't break something down, it can't use it for the benefits of the body. So, I mean, all good things to keep into consideration. A couple of questions before we dig deeper into this. Diana wants to know about a lot of the colon cleansing products that we see advertised on the market. Are there any truth to them? Are cleanses worthwhile? Is this something that is good for the digestive system?
One thing with the digestive system is you always have to go back. So let's say there is like a constipation or, you know, an issue where you're not going. Getting the stool cleaned out of you, yes, that is actually a good thing to kind of, so you can restart and reboot it. Chronically doing that, you still want to get to the cause of the problem, right? So if there is a chronic constipation or like there's pain, like it needs to come out. So doing a colon cleanse, and I like to call them so there's some of them that they just give you a ton of fiber. Put some whole bunch of activated charcoal in there. It's gonna blow your colon out, right? So you have to be close to the bathroom, but you still want to get to the cause of the problem, and that really goes back to rebuilding the grass, rebuilding the healthy bacteria in your body, and then kind of going deeper is a lot of times the thing called leaky gut, and the inside layer of the gut is one cell thick, and it's the layer that absorbs all the nutrients into your bloodstream. And if those cells get spread apart, that's when molecules that aren't broken down all the way, they'll get across and through that one cell layer and into the bloodstream. And that's where inflammation starts happening, because those particles, those food particles, aren't broken down or they're foreign. So what your body has to do is start attacking those cells that leak through the gut, that one cell layer. And when they start leaking through, the whole immune response starts to happen. And that's not good. So, kind of a long-winded answer to that question, but still want to get to the cause, and you got to rebuild your gut. If it's a painful situation or if you're very constipated, yes, getting the stool out is good, but rebuilding your gut and healing it is where you want to start.
Now, in your opinion, just to kind of tag on to Diana's question, are there cleanses, certain cleanses that are better than others? Are there certain, ingredients to look for a really effective cleanse, or does just anything work pretty adequately?
If it says a colon cleanse, those are going to be like a few days of a bunch of fiber. that is going to kind of push everything through, and maybe some magnesium citrate, which, you know, constipation, if you're dealing with that, that's actually a good nutrient. Magnesium helps calm the smooth muscle in the intestine. So it will help push, you know, push some of the stool through. Other ingredients are going to be activated charcoal a lot of times. That's going to, you know, just attach onto the stuff and move it right on through. But I think for gut healing, what you want to do is some ingredients I look for. L-glutamine is a amino acid that gets in those leaky gut, those little holes, and starts plugging those holes up so it doesn't go through. And then if you need to kill bad bacteria, some herbs are oregano, clove, and thyme that are very good. They go in there and start breaking down the bad bacteria, kill that off. Kills the weeds off so you can start rebuilding good bacteria. And then a good probiotic is a multiple strain probiotic, a broad range probiotic that's going to help rebuild that. And then obviously just eating food in its natural state is going to help build the gut flora too. Omega-3 fatty acids are very important in healing the gut. If there's if you're advanced into maybe some bleeding, some Crohn's disease or colitis, if it's advanced that far, then high levels of fatty acids are you need those to heal. And then
this is pretty serious.
And then a lot, yeah, it's pretty serious. It's
wow.
And then having high quality food where there is fiber, so it can, you know, you have material where the body's going to break it down and get the nutrients out of it, but then keep fiber full and, you know, and push through your intestine. A great thing for that is flaxseed and chia seeds, one of the most healthiest fats there is, plus a ton of fiber, and they actually scrub and clean the intestinal wall as it goes through.
Okay, great. So, Diana, I hope that answers your question. And also, folks, we're getting in lots of questions. Some of them are very similar to each other. So if we don't call you by name, we're sorry. But we are trying to get all of the questions asked, so hopefully you'll still hear an answer to what you asked at some point in the show, so just kind of keep that in mind. Our next question, Levi wants to know, how is the gut related to stalled weight loss? I mean, there are a lot of things that can slow or prevent someone from losing weight, but what role does the gut play in that?
Yes. Yeah, this is a huge one. Weight loss, well, if you're full, you know, if you're not getting rid of the, would you call it, Kaylin?
The gut leavings.
Leavings?
Gut leavings. If you're not getting rid of your gut leavings, obviously that's going to add weight. And that happens a lot. In my office, I see that a lot of, you know, after starting a nutrition program, like once their gut is able to, cleanse and get the gut leavings out, you lose weight right away, and you see it visually because the abdomen will shrink fairly quickly. Go back to the question again.
You just wanted to know what role? I mean, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So
how does the gut impact or prevent weight loss? Yeah.
So when you do have a bad bacteria in there, their metabolism, what it does is it leaves an acidic environment. And so then the acid actually goes across the cell wall into the bloodstream, which will create your body to become acidic. And when your body becomes acidic, that gets all stored up in the fluid in your body, and that gets stored. Your body has to take it out of the system, so it goes to the fat cells. And when those fat cells start growing and get bigger, they release a hormone called leptin that goes to your brain. And the leptin is a fat-burning hormone, but once you start releasing, the fat cells grow and grow and grow, and then it starts sending all this leptin to the brain. The brain just kind of shuts it off and says, "I, you know what, if there's so much coming, just I can't hear you anymore." And that's a bad cycle to get in, because those receptors in the brain burn out. And when they burn out, that's when, you know, really the heavy weight gain happens. And until you break that cycle, and the one way to get break that cycle is in the gut, is getting that the good bacteria, the healthy bacteria, build up, so the bad bacteria is not giving you breaking or giving all that acidity in the bloodstream. So when that you break that cycle, now those fat cells, again, the interstitial fluid in the body can become more alkaline again, because you eat better, and the fat cells will actually open up and start releasing some of the fat cells, and it'll bring it back to the liver, turn it into energy. But then the leptin receptors heal up in the brain, and now the brain is telling the body, the metabolism, to pick up and let's burn more fat. So let's keep burning fat for energy instead of consuming it, and some of those cravings go away. Because when you get those cravings, the sugar and the bad fats that you always want, and the pops and the coffee, and let's crave the candy bar and the cakes and the chips and the cookies. That's all hormonally stuff going on. And the big hormone is that leptin released by the fat cells. So if you can break that cycle in the gut, it can change, rebuild those hormones in your brain, so then your body can actually burn fat instead of store it, and change that acid-base ratio in your gut.
A lot of things people don't think about.
That's true. And so this question, maybe it's related after all. I've been looking at it, wondering how it kind of fits into this discussion, but here we go. So Dale has quit smoking and drinking and has gained weight like crazy, but the kicker is his diet hasn't changed, or so he thinks, but he is holding fat in his waist and his lower back. So he's cut out some bad habits. His food hasn't changed, but he's packing on the weight.
Is there
a scenario in the gut that's contributing to this?
A couple things there, Dale. That's going to be one is a cortisol issue and some habit stuff, and that happens a lot when you quit smoking, because the tobacco that becomes part of your physiology. Into your cells and in your brain and your nerves, and it takes over for a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. So it becomes a neurotransmitter that it can. Because your body, it just becomes part of the system. So now you're taking away all that, and your body hasn't made enough ACH or acetylcholine for a long time, which that goes. Acetylcholine is part of the energy cycle and the Krebs cycle that goes into each cell in the mitochondria. So after that, it takes a while for your body to start producing those hormones again, or the neurotransmitters up in your brain, because of you've probably done it for so long, smoked for a while. So it just takes time to rebuild that. And the best way to do that for the gut is rebuild it, smoking, that's going to get in your bloodstream, and where does it go? To the liver, and the liver has to detoxify a lot of the chemicals in smoke, and so the liver is going to be bad, and it's not going to be able to break down the fatty acids either, and it's actually going to make more fatty acids. So one would be a liver cleanse type thing, and milk thistle is a very good herb to help cleanse the liver. And then, depending on how far you want to go, Dale, you can do coffee enemas, which is, enema in the anus, where you can go online and search that. But the neurology, the nerves down there, they connect to your liver, and the coffee does some amazing things where it really detoxifies the liver and dumps it into the intestine. So I would say really focus on that liver and get that cleaned up. Once that happens, then you'll be able to, you know, start seeing some of the weight loss. And then cortisol is a hormone that gets, it's a stress hormone that after you stop smoking, if you gain it around the, you know, the waist, that means your cortisol levels are high. So look at your stress levels, how much you're sleeping, you know, what kind of what your stress habits are, and if you stress eat at all. And just work on stress. Stress is just a lifestyle. You got to get more sleep and, you know, manage relationships and you know, do that better. So cortisol and just cleaning up the liver, which is part of your digestive tract.
Well, from what I'm reading, especially with what a lot of listeners are basically asking, and I don't think they're making the connection with, like you're saying, there's a problem that's been done to your body, and I don't think there's an overnight success with what they're expecting when they're doing what they're doing. I mean, like you're saying, you know, you might do a colon cleanse, but there's a root cause that they're still not addressing. And then with the smoking and drinking, there's some damage to the internal organs that need to be addressed as well. So could you enlighten them on how to basically get back on positive ground instead of basically climbing uphill and basically getting a foothold and thinking that's some kind of success that means everything's fine? Because I'm thinking that's what everybody's pretty much looking for, that quick fix. And from what I'm hearing, these are things that are going to take some time and some effort to be corrected.
Yes, you got it. You got it. And like I said, the organs of the digestive tract, it starts with the liver. So liver, gallbladder, you know, Dale too, if you've had any gallbladder issues, if you've had it out or had any stones, you know, that's always something to look at also. But the liver, if you go back to the liver, that's what produces the bile, which breaks down your fats and, you know, allows the fats to break down so you can use those energy or they get stored depending on, you know, what you're eating. But that is a very important process in the digestion sequence, and the liver is a detoxification organ, one of the, you know, major ones, that all the blood it goes through the liver and it has to take the toxins out, and that's what the liver does. And I do some functional testing in my office, and what I find on people is detoxification issues. There's two phases of detoxification, and we find that all the time. It's either a gut problem or a detoxification issue, which are both, you know, both digestive tract problems. But we have to start with the liver and get that clean. And analogy is your house. If your filter in your house is dirty and you don't change it for, you know, a year, it's going to circulate dirty air because it's going to be clogged up.
Yeah.
And the same thing in your body is your liver. If it gets clogged up, it's going to keep circulating the toxins throughout your body, and then that affects, like, all those hormones. It's going to cause stress hormones to increase. It's going to affect the male and female hormones. It's going to cause a lot of things, and plus then the gut is going to, it's not going to produce the right amount of bile, which is not going to store right in the gallbladder, probably get some stones, and then the gallbladder doesn't work, so then, you know, do some ultrasounds on it, and then usually it comes out if there's some gallbladder pain, but then you don't have the bile dumping into the small intestine to process the fats correctly. And then the fats don't get processed correctly, and so it goes right through you. It's going to cause diarrhea, or if you have a leaky gut, it's going to go back into the bloodstream and cause more inflammation and food intolerances and immune issues. So autoimmunity is a big one. So getting to the liver and that, keeping that thing clean is very important. That's
so what it sounds
a lot
like.
Of stuff.
Cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say what it sounds like, though, is, you know, if we have bad habits, even if we change those habits, we still have the consequences of those habits that we have to deal with. And even though we might change a habit overnight, the effects from those consequences aren't going to change overnight. That's what's going to take time. It's going to take consistency and consistency in the good habits in order for the body to heal itself and build back up. And over time, the body ultimately can, most things, heal itself. But again, you have to be consistent with all of the good habits and patient while you are trying to get things turned around, is what it sounds like.
That's exactly right. And most people, when they get a problem, our mentality is, well, it's happening right now. But you have to look back from the day you were born, all the way to where the problem is, and work backwards, really. Because it's not just about now. That problem's been in there a long time. Like the liver's been clogged up, or the gallbladder's been clogged up for a long time. It's just not now. If you want to get to the cause and correct the problem and get to the cause, you have to look back. And what have you been exposed to? Have you taken a lot of antibiotics? Do you work in a chemical environment that's bad? Do you have stress in your life? Do you not sleep? Do you have a toxic relationship? Are you depressed? And what's your vitamin D levels? I mean, there's so many different questions and ways that you got to look at, instead of just giving you a statin drug. Let's find out why it's high. Where's the inflammation at? And most of the time, it's a inflammatory leaky gut issue that it's going to go back to inflammation.
And I think this, what we were just talking about right here, directly ties into one of the questions that we received. Sarah has a liver and kidney issue, and she noticed it happened when she changed her diet to natural foods. And she's asking, is there a connection? And before you answer, this reminds me of one of the stats that I've heard you share before. And I want to say that, and I'm probably going to get this number wrong, but, only is it, 86-88%, or actually is it only 2-4-6% of the body actually registers pain? The rest of the body doesn't. So there could be things going on and building up for a long time that you would never even know happened because you didn't physically feel it. And, like you were just saying, when something occurs, you have to look back to see what caused that. Maybe you made a change and it was a good change that, maybe triggered something to make you notice what the symptom was, but that wasn't actually what caused the problem.
Yes. Yeah. That you don't feel where the problem's at until it's too late. A very small percentage, like you said, the whole nervous system, are pain fibers. Most nerve fibers are function. They're functioning. You don't feel them. When somebody has a heart attack, the first symptom is the heart attack. They don't know that there's a problem there. So if you're lucky enough to get a symptom, don't ignore it. Don't put the on your car. If a red light comes on, you're going to take it in. If the red light comes on in your body, take it in and find out what the cause is. And don't just put a duct tape over the red light in your car and keep on driving, because that's not going to be good. and that's the same thing with your body, is don't cover it up. Don't cover up the symptom. Obviously, if it's if you bust your leg and it's pain, take some pain pills to get through it. But if it's a chronic issue, find out what the cause is.
So then, in your opinion, to answer Sarah's question, she switched to eating more natural foods and then discovered she has liver and kidney issues. So, and I realize you're not her doctor. You don't have her background. But in your opinion, it wasn't necessarily the switch to the natural foods that triggered that. That was actually a good thing.
But the problem,
issues were building up.
Exactly. The problem was there before she switched over. Natural food is not going to cause that, not going to cause the problem. And good job on switching. Now you just got to get busy and find what the cause is, and find the right doctor that's going to dig. And most likely it's I don't know if it's a cholesterol issue or a fatty liver or something like that. But, you got to You got to dig and figure out how am I going to get it, heal it, and get it better. And that, but that's the great thing about the body is it can heal. We just got to figure out what it needs, what it's deficient in, and then make it sufficient so the body can heal.
Cool. I'm sorry, I'm trying to catch up with the questions that are coming in here. So one of the areas that several of our listeners are wanting a little more clarification on is how does stress and worry impact how the gut functions? Because you've talked about becoming less stressed, and we've talked about the leptin and all of that good kind of stuff, but can you just bring more clarity to that?
Yes. Yeah, so stress. So there's a stress hormones. There's a sympathetic nervous system and then a parasympathetic nervous system. And so there's stress hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol is one. But if you're all stressed out, what happens is, you know, fight or flight is that the sympathetic system is supposed to be for if the bear's chasing me, I got to run really fast to get away from it, like stress, acute stress. But in our world today, we live with chronic stress. Whether it's at work or, you know, whatever the chronic stress is with the relationship or there's a stress there. So chronically, those elevated levels of stress hormones, what happens to muscles? So they tighten up and you get knots in them. So the colon is smooth muscle, so everything that gets tightened up too. And so one thing that happens is the actual physical smooth muscle tightens up, and so it doesn't allow the colon to, called peristalsis, it slows it down because everything's so stressed. We're putting our blood into our muscles because of the stress. Now, the parasympathetic is going back to a car and related to a car, is the sympathetic is the gas pedal. So most of us are pedal to the metal all the time, and we don't have much parasympathetic or healing, which is the brake. So we're all gas and no brake. And that's what we need to switch is more brake, which is going to help heal and relax the gut so it can allow peristalsis and get through. But there's also another hormone that's made in your gut. There's quite a few of them, actually, dopamine and serotonin. So a lot of people know serotonin as the happy hormone, and that is used in your brain. But when we get sad, you know, if we get sad or anxious, serotonin levels, usually it's a gut problem because there's a whole bunch of problems going on, you know, in your gut. So it stops producing serotonin. Now the brain doesn't have enough serotonin to use in its neurotransmitters, so depression happens or anxiety happens. And, you know, the medical model is let's give you a drug, a serotonin reuptake inhibitor that is going to keep those serotonin molecules inside the synapses and the neurotransmitters for a longer period of time. But what happens is you just keep needing more and more and more of that for it to work. If you want to get to the problem, it goes rebuilding the gut again. So the gut can produce serotonin, which is going to take it to the bloodstream in your brain, and then your neurotransmitters can be healthy again. Did that answer the question? I'm not sure if that did. I got off on a tangent, I think.
No, I think it did. And actually, I think it has sparked another area of interest. We've just had a flurry of questions coming in with regard to anxiety issues. And I'm
not
really sure
problem,
the specific.
Not a brain problem.
Okay, because the crux of the interest here is what is the cause and how is it related to the gut?
And then it goes back to the serotonin and dopamine production. About 50% of dopamine in your produced in your gut, 50% in the brain, and the serotonin is 95% in your gut. And we see that a lot in my office. We work on the GI system. You know, they come in and you know they have you know, that they have some depression medication that they're taking. They're taking an SSRI, and, you know, we talk to them about it and their gut. That's not why they're coming in, but we get a gut healing protocol going for them, and all of a sudden what happens? They get happier, and they're like, they can't believe it, that they're doing so much better with the depression and the anxiety
symptom that they have. And so then, you know, our goal is, if, you know, we work with our doctors and help them get weaned off that stuff. Because most people, when I ask them if they want to be on a medication, 90% of people say no. And they're like, you know, I would love to get off it. I just don't know how or why. You know, what? How do I do it? And, you know, that's where getting to the cause of it is, you know, getting to the rebuilding the GI flora, rebuilding the leaky gut, plugging those holes in the gut makes it, allows the GI system to make more serotonin.
So let's spend a little more time on that topic, because, you know, issues like anxiety, depression, you know, all of those things, they're just so very common, and no one would ever stop to think that there could be a solution for that in their gut. And you had just talked about, I'll call it gut fixing because I don't remember exactly what you said, but basically a gut fixing protocol for individuals that are coming in and they're on meds for anxiety. So what, I mean, and let's really take our time to kind of walk through what a protocol like that might look like, understanding that everybody's different. It might not be the same for everyone. But what that protocol might look like that is then going to improve that gut, which will help with, or is, or can help with the overall emotional well-being of a person.
Yes, that would be, that's a good thing that we can start with. And one thing is eating foods with bacteria on it, like, so eating vegetables, just raw, eating raw would be a good starting spot with that, just to help start healing the gut there. Decreasing, so just diet-wise, decreasing sugar, decreasing carbohydrates is a huge one. you gotta give it a break. Doing some intermittent fasting would be good also, so there's not always food in your system, so the body, so that GI system can heal, especially if there's inflammation and leaky gut going on. So it gives it time. You put those supplements that I talked about earlier, the L-glutamine, the oregano, clove, and thyme in there, probiotics, so the broad spectrum probiotics, cleaning the milk thistle out, or cleaning the liver with a milk thistle product is a very good thing to do, and then the omega-3 fatty acids. And then switching your diet into... Yep, go ahead.
Nope, you go ahead. I'll follow back up.
Oh, yeah, and then switching your diet into a gut-healing diet, which is a high-fat, and, you know, high-fat protein, and then green vegetables. Is a good healing diet to start, you know, to start healing the gut and getting the intestinal lining healed up so then it can produce the dopamine and serotonin to help with those anxiety and depression type symptoms.
Okay, good. What I wanted to follow up with was you had thrown out a term called intermittent fasting. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so intermittent fasting is a way to give your GI system a break from digesting, basically. So if I cut my arm open, you know, I'm going to probably cover it up for a while, and, you know, if it's a deep cut, and it's going to heal from the inside out. But if you keep scratching it, it's going to break open all the time. Same thing with inside is, if you give it a break, I mean, you got to eat at some point, right? If you can take an intermittent fasting approach and give it a break for 12 hours, do a 12-hour, you know, you go to bed at 9 and you don't eat until 9 the next day, or if you start do that pretty easy, then maybe you go to a 14-hour, so you don't eat until 11 the next day. So you just give that time for your body to heal. You put in the glutamine, you put in the omega-3 fatty acids, as as supplements to help heal also, but you're not putting, like, you know, vegetables in, high fiber meals or fat and protein, so those intestinal walls have time to heal.
Okay, very good. Awesome. Now, and I know you're based in West Des Moines, Iowa. We have listeners all over the world, but, you know, I would assume that there are several maximized doctors out there that have the same knowledge that you have. Maybe not all, because I know you do spend a lot of time, you know, really looking into nutrition and the way that it impacts the body. But if someone were to look for a maximized physician in their area, at least in the United States, or if they wanted to follow up with you, where would they be able to find that information?
Yes. So depending on where we have the offices, about 500 offices around the country that are associated with the Maximized Living Principles, and, you know, kind of we train and learn. We go to several seminars a year to train and learn the same kind of same things. And so we're all speaking the same language. So maximizedliving.com is probably is the best place to go to find a Maximized Living doc around your area. There's a search on there for find a doc in your area. If you need, contact me, eptruechiropractic.com, eptruechiropractic.com, and then and you get email too is eptruechiro at gmail.com is another way to get to me.
So when he says eptrue, it's actually just the letter E, the letter P, and then true, T-R-U-E, chiropractic.
T-R-U.
Dot com.
Yep.
P-R-U.
Yes.
E. There's an E on there, right?
T-R-U-E, yes. Got it.
Yes.
Got it, Des. I know. It's a street name. I named my business after the street. I probably should have did. Miller would have been a lot easier to communicate with people.
That's all right. As long as you don't move, everybody will always know where to find you.
That's right.
Exactly.
shoot. So, Kaylin, any last minute questions that we have for Dr. Miller?
No, but we just about lost the board on that anxiety issue. That was that touched the nerve.
That was a big one, yeah. That's a huge one that we see, and we're helping a ton of people with that issue. They come in for, you know, maybe some low back or headaches and neck pain, but we fix their serotonin levels and they become new people. So that's really exciting, and people just don't know. And if we educate them, you know, how important that GI system is and what it does and what it controls in your body, it's a whole new ball game for them.
Wow,
it sure is.
Some education.
And it's, you know, and it's, I just find it so refreshing because I'm not a huge fan of pharma, although I understand pharma has its place. But if there's an opportunity that where you can heal your body and let it do what it's supposed to do naturally, I'm a firm believer that you are so much better off in the health game if you are able to do that instead of just masking the issues with drugs that may or may not be, you know, taking care of the real issue. Because a lot of times with prescriptions, in order to take care of the symptom, they're just turning off something else in your body that's causing that symptom. But when they turn off that reactor or whatever it is that we want to call it, because I'm not highly technical, I understand how it works, but I probably can't explain it well, then they're also turning off, you know, other systems in the body that are going to cause issues elsewhere. That's why you always have these mile-long lists of side effects when you start taking a drug, because they're inhibiting one aspect of the body to deal with one issue, but in doing that, they're creating 20 others. And that just does not seem like a sustainable model.
Yes, well, that's our health crisis right there in our country. So, and people don't want that model anymore. And I think it's great because education is getting out there, and it's like, I don't want to be a drug guinea pig, and let's get to the cause.
Boom,
now,
right there. Let's get to the cause.
Too far, the antibiotics is also one that we had some listeners throw in, and I overlooked it because of the anxiety. I mean, like I said, it really jumped when you had brought up that topic. But the antibiotics, I know that my mom personally has had issues because basically she'd become immune to the antibiotics. So like you said, if we're not correcting, sooner or later the body's going to adapt one way or the other.
Exactly, exactly. And the probiotic, the whole antibiotic thing is, you know, we just got taught that bugs are bad, and they're not. We need them in our body. We farm our digestion out to the bugs. So bugs are good. You know, those microbes are very good for you, and you don't want to kill them. You want to kill the grass. you want to have healthy grass. You don't have a brown, you're the only one in the neighborhood with brown grass.
I love it. Maybe the basement wouldn't have been so bad if they'd eat more healthy grass.
Well,
or maybe it would have been
grass green.
Shoot. Or maybe it would have been more full because then fewer people would have been constipated and they would have been using the bathroom more often.
Oh, thanks. I need to visualize that.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't
back.
Know if it was a good situation or not. Because really, before we close, let's talk about that because we talked about constipation. What is, quote unquote, considered normal for bathroom habits? How many times a day are you supposed to go number two?
Ideally, you should poop after every meal. Really, that's ideally that's the best scenario. At least three times a day.
Good grief.
So, and most people,
so ideally,
ideally that would be the amount, at least twice, 2 to 3 times a day. And a lot of people go, just for example, a 13-year-old came in and he, like, once every 10 days, and he'd get so backed up. He'd get so backed up that it would push up against his lungs and he would cough. He couldn't sleep at night because he was coughing all night long. So they're the medical motto is giving him all kinds of, you know, steroids and anti-cough medications and all this. It wasn't his lungs, it was his intestines. He wasn't going to the bathroom. We adjusted him, got his nerves working correctly and got him on a basic eating different nutrition program, and the kid lost 15 pounds in like 2 weeks. He started going to bathroom.
Wow.
I guess so.
Ideally
2 to 3 times a day, but at a minimum, you should be going number two at least once a day.
Yeah, that's at a minimum.
At least.
Yeah, sure.
At a minimum. So if you're not going once a day, you're constipated. I mean, that's, you just are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you're not going once a day, yeah, for sure. Or if it's the other way, if you're going multiple times a day and it's, you know, a diarrhea type, that's not good either.
No.
You know, on the other end, so.
No. And actually, I understand that there are several kinds of, or several categories of stools, and some are good and some are bad, and we don't have time on today's show for that, but it's probably something that could be Googled, or we can always bring Dr. Miller back and we can talk more about poop on another show. But
circle back around. It's always fun to talk about. We all do it. We got to talk about it.
That's right. What are we calling it? Hashtag what leavings? Hashtag colon leavings? Or what were we saying?
Gut leavings.
Gut leavings.
Gut leavings.
Well,
I love it.
With that, Dr. Miller, thanks so much. For joining
You're
us
welcome.
Tonight. And Kaylin, thanks so
Kaylin.
Much for the colorful hashtag. I hope everyone has learned more about their gut and how having a good gut can make for a just happier and healthier lifestyle. So on behalf of Dr. Miller, myself, Kaylin, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
Snickerdoodle.
Amen.